So a little over a month ago, we began this whole Lenten journey, and I told you that we would be in John's Gospel this year, and that we would be meeting some very interesting people who might remind us of ourselves. We've seen Jesus talking to Nicodemus. We heard him talking to the woman at the well. We watched what he did with a blind man. And today we're with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I also mentioned as we started this Lenten journey that we would be looking at some of the big issues that are relevant to each one of us. Issues like commitment, salvation, enlightenment. And today, the issue is life and death. And in actuality, these issues have been a part of each of Jesus' encounters with all of these folks. And there's been sort of an overarching theme that has been demanding for our attention. And that has been the theme of surrender, of giving our lives to Christ. Now, Easter is still 2 weeks away, but today's gospel lesson invites us to reflect upon what we believe about resurrection and what difference that belief makes in our own lives. If we're really paying attention and listening, we may hear again some news about new life shaking within our own hearts and lives in the depths of our souls. Now, I always want to play movie director every time I read this passage of Scripture. I love imagining the scene, the tomb carved out of a mountain in which Jesus' beloved friend Lazarus lies dead. The sobs of the black-robed mourners, kind of the air of despair, a sense of waiting that is always present when someone we love dies. There's a sense of waiting for God only knows what. Have you ever had that sense of a feeling? God only knows what? Have you ever felt that in your gut? Jesus tells his disciples very plainly, Lazarus is dead, and there are tears. Jesus cries tears of loss and grief for Lazarus. At the last, when we have taken our final breath on earth, there will be tears of mourning for all of us by God's grace. There will be tears by our friends and our family who will grieve when we ourselves die. Or at least we hope and pray there will be friends and family to mourn us when we're dead. Lazarus is dead 4 days when Jesus arrives on the scene. And Jesus commands that large stone be removed from the mouth of the tomb. And there are protests, very well spoken, very well deserved. There's protests. Oh, it's going to stink. There's going to be an odor. But nevertheless, the stone is moved away as Jesus commands. It's one thing to command the living, and it's quite another to command the dead. Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And all of earth holds its breath. What will happen? Will anything happen? Will nothing happen? I mean, just try to imagine, put yourself in that crowd on that day. Which are you more ready to deal with? Are you more ready to deal with the silence and the stillness, the final reality of death? Or are you ready to deal with the possibility of life? Are you not the least bit afraid that Lazarus won't come out? Or are you afraid that he will? Can the power of life be so crystal clear in Jesus that we get to see that our ultimate destiny is not in the tomb? Can you believe, trust that? Martha did. Oh, sister Martha did. At least she said she did. I am the resurrection and the life is what Jesus told her. God's love is not about some abstract, distant end time. God's love is not about some far-off day of resurrection. I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever believes in me, everyone who lives and believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this? Either God's power for life, which is revealed in Jesus Christ, is real, or it's not. Either it is true here and now, or it's never true. Martha replies, "Oh yes, Lord, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God, you are the one coming into the world." Martha said in her deep faith and trust, "Oh yes, Lord, I believe." Do we trust God as Martha did? Do we have faith in God and God's power for life? Martha declares her faith, and then, along with the rest of the world, she waits. And I have come to believe, friends, that you and I, we live our lives within that pause. We live our lives within that waiting time. Between the command, "Lazarus, come out," and the response. We live our lives with all of our joys and sorrows, all of our fulfillments and frustrations, all of the glory and despair, and the choice of whether or not we dare to hope. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? The question kind of hangs in the air. And that's what I think matters. When I consider this question, I oftentimes recall the man that had the sick child that we hear about in Mark's gospel. The sick child who is healed and raised to life. And that man says, "I believe, help my unbelief." The two have always been there together, at least in me, kind of like Siamese twins. Belief and unbelief. This teaching here today in John's Gospel for me underscores the fact that we become like that which we believe. We become like that to which we are committed. We become like that to which we give ourselves. And so the question is, are you going to live your life as though this is all there is? As though nothing lasts beyond your last grasp? As though you and yours are all that matters? As though any difference you might make dies with you anyway, so there isn't any difference? Are you going to live your life as though the silence is all there is, unless you fill it up with the noise that you create? Or will you live your life as though the final word is a word of good news, as though the bottom line is going to be a punchline, as though it just might be okay that everything we think of as life passes away, as though it might be all right to let go because this is not all there is? Will you live your life as though there is something greater than yourself to which you can give yourself? As though in giving yourself away, and only in giving yourself away, you will find out who you most truly are? That's the question. What do you think you're here for? You finish the story in your version. Is that smelly guy coming out of the tomb or not? I think he is, because I've seen folks every bit as dead come out of places every bit as dry. I think he is because I know what that tomb looks like on the inside. I think he's coming out of there because the God I know is a God of life. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Do you believe this? To believe in something beyond this life is to open yourself up to a whole new world of possibilities. To believe that there is more going on than what meets the eye makes it possible for us to appreciate with a lot more gratitude of what we do see. To know that there is more is to allow the world and the people in it to truly be the world and the people in it, and not to expect them to somehow meet the deepest hungers within us, which is the hunger for God. To believe in the resurrection power of life is to be able to let go. Oh, let go. To let life flow through us rather than getting a death grip on it, because when it comes to life, there is always a lot more where that came from. Living life in a way that affirms our belief in resurrection, it's not easy. And it's not a painless one. There will be losses. But living in a way that affirms resurrection is a way of living into our losses, because we know that they're not going to destroy us. Oh, there'll be tears. Jesus wept. All will pass away. All will pass away. But God's love will abide. God's love will last forever and ever. And in that love, we will live for eternity. To believe in resurrection is the hope of eternal life. Resurrection belief begins the moment we choose to live, even with all of our doubts. When we choose to live as though Lazarus is coming out of that tomb. Oh, Lazarus, come out. We're waiting. Amen.